Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome,
welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Afrida Love, and today we have a topic entitled, What to Expect in the Field. And we're going to receive this from 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 29. And with this, I'm going to give you or provide you kind of a synopsis, because I want you to go back and read it. So I have divided it up and simplified it where we can understand it, but actually we need to go back and also read what the Lord is telling us today, because there is a revelation there. And so today our scripture is 1 John 4:7, which reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." I have read to you 1 John 4:7. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And before I start the ministry, or before I start the teaching, I would like to pray. I've had several inboxes and just different things that's going on around the community and different people who ask for prayer. And, of course, each one of us need prayer, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And so I'm going to pray as the Lord has placed things on my heart, and then we will start. And as you know, we have more time, so we don't need to rush. So however the Spirit moves today, that is what we're going to do. But what I do know is that we're going to pray, and what I do know is that we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat and the thing or the battle that he went through, and we're going to also talk about how this is applicable to our lives. So without further ado, I would like to go ahead and go on with the prayer, and then we will start with the teaching and announcements, and I will bid you farewell. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way, Lord. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, Heavenly Father. We take none of that for granted, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're asking you that you continue to crown our heads with the wisdom and knowledge that you would give us, Heavenly Father, so that we can proclaim and so that we can magnify who you are. And what we mean by magnify is so that we can decrease the me, the my, the I, the Afrida to zero, and increase you to greatness, because you are God, and besides you there is none other. Lord, we continue to ask that you bless those who are in the hospital, Lord, those who are hanging on for dear life, Heavenly Father, those who are just there because they don't feel well, those who have admitted themselves because they need some rest and peace, Lord. We're asking you, if it's your will, would you touch them in a way that they will know that you are God, Lord, because we understand and we recognize that our lives are very fragile. And because of the fragile aspect of our lives, we are to live each day as if it were our last, Heavenly Father. We realize and understand that there are individuals who are by the bedside of those who may not be feeling well, or of those who may need prayer, or those who may need deliverance, or those who may need just a touch from you, Lord. We understand that they too are going through something, and their hearts are needs to be mended, and their minds need to be regulated, and their heads lifted up, and their eyes are filled with tears and needs to be wiped. Heavenly Father, we're asking you, would you be the comforter, because we know that you are Yahweh, El Shaddai, Elohim, Heavenly Father. We know that you're all that and then some, Heavenly Father. We know that you are the only one who can deliver us out of depression, deliver us out of sadness, deliver us out of confusion, deliver us out of those conflicts, deliver us out of hurt and pain, Heavenly Father. We know that you have the healing healing touch. We know that you give the doctors the knowledge and understanding. We know that you are God, and we understand and recognize that besides you, there is no other God, Lord. We're asking you, would you bless this broadcast, the Love Lift Jesus ministry, to go forth, Heavenly Father, and to fall on good ground, Lord, to fall on open ears, to fall on an open heart, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you bless the host, Alfreda Emmanuel Love, to continue to be crowned from the top of my head to the soles of my feet with wisdom from on high, not from wisdom from Alfreda Love, not from wisdom from the experiences I've had, not from wisdom from anything else, but the wisdom from on high that you give. Allow and bless the words that come out of my mouth to be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, and the words to be anointed, and the words to be fulfilling, and the words to be valid, so that people will know that you are God and you are real, Heavenly Father. Then we're asking you, Heavenly Father, would you continue to uplift and uphold us to a higher standard? Help us to continue to perfect our walk in you, not in our own name, not in our own strength, but in you, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you continue to bless other ministries, not just the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, but other ministries that are spreading the word of God. Continue to give them the knowledge and the wisdom and anoint everything that we say and everything that we touch. Allow it to be prosperous, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you bless the events that are coming up? Would you anoint those events and send the right people, Lord? Touch the right people. Make it strategic, Heavenly Father, for whatever your will and your purpose is and your way. We thank you for those whom we already know. I've been with you since day one. We thank you for those who are just coming on board. We thank you for those who are going to come on board because they are seeking this God that we continuously speak about, uplift and edify, Lord. Now, Lord, as we go into the teachings, as we go into the activity for stress relief and for the powerful anointing of you to come upon us, Lord, we ask that each listener, each person who clicks on blogtalkradio.com/freetolove be blessed, Heavenly Father, blessed to in season and blessed out of season, blessed going out and blessed coming in, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you continue to anoint these hands and this voice, Heavenly Father, Lord, not to sing, Heavenly Father, because that's not my calling, but to speak the word of God and to teach the word of God, Heavenly Father, and to lead the people unto you so that they may know that there is a God and there is power in serving a true and living God. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We take not one day, not one breath, not one minute, not one second, not one hour for granted, because we know that we don't even deserve to be here. And, Lord, we thank you for each moment that I am able to come on, Heavenly Father, and to spread the word of God. It makes my heart happy. It gets me excited, and I get pumped up, and I feel fire in my hands, and it feels like electricity in my body because I'm so wound up ready to praise the Lord through word. Lord, now I'm asking you, would you once again decrease me all the way to zero so that we can hear from you. If there's any distractions, any thoughts on my mind, anything that's not of you, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, would you remove it right now as we go into the presence, the very presence of God, so that we can teach the people what your revelation says. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We magnify, we edify you, we glorify you in dominion and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And once again, this is the day, the night, the evening that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Before we get started, and the Lord placed this on my heart, and before the teaching, you know, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we always have to pray unto God that we remove anything that's not like him. Is that right? So before I began teaching the lesson, I need to go through this activity that will be in the new guide that the Lord has given me about health and fitness. And this new guide is entitled Being Spiritually Fit in Order to Be Physically Fit. Amen? Being spiritually fit in order to become physically fit. And so, therefore, I would like to take you through this activity. I see some new callers on the line. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And I see that I have been with you since day one, callers. How you doing? How you doing? Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining. Afraid of love. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord. I want to start out with this activity. And many of you, some of you already know the process, but we're going to go through it together again because I have other individuals who are new. And so here we go. This is an activity that will be in the guide, and this is an activity that will bless you real good. And the Lord gave this to me a few weeks ago, and it works. I've tried it, and it works. What I want you to do, and I'm going to give you some time, is I want you to think about two positive things that has happened to you today. Two positive things. For instance, one of mine would be God woke me up this morning, and I was glad about that. You know, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate like the Lord blessed me with a new car today. It could be something as simple as the Lord, kept me safe as I was driving down the highway. So think about two positive things, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Okay, now then, some of you, and the Lord revealed this, some of you are saying, what if I have the same positive things happening? That's good because you're in the consistency of life, and that's what we're trying to get to, and you're doing it early. Some of us are going to be early bloomers, and some will be late. If your positive thing or positive blessing is that God woke you up this morning, then continue to put it, because God doesn't have to wake up anyone. And that God woke you up in your bed, not a hospital bed, put it, because God didn't have to do that. Or if you're in the hospital and you're still alive, amen, that's a blessing. So if you have to put that, if you have to continuously repeat it, do it. God is saying just be grateful, all right? So do that. I'm going to give you about 10 more seconds. All right, now I want you, on your sheet of paper or in your mind, I want you to think about two negative things, two unfavorable things that happened to you. For instance, and this is not really unfavorable, but it makes you feel uncomfortable. When you woke up this morning, you had a pain in your back. When you woke up this morning, you wasn't feeling well. When you was on your way to church, someone was too close to your car. When you got to church, someone didn't greet you. I mean, it could be anything. So just think of two negative things. And some of you are to the stage where you really, the negativity is not in your mind. You already know how to change it because we've been going through this process for, we've performed this activity at least two or three times. But think of something that made you feel uncomfortable or something that was unfavorable or something someone said. It could be today. It could be yesterday, and you didn't let it go when we had the first activity, okay? So think of two unfavorable things or two negative things in your life. Okay, that's great. Now, I want you to look at those positive things or review those positive things today, all right? And I want you to look at them, and I want you to look at them real good. And I want you to hold on to those two positive things as if you was holding on for dear life. Hold on to them and continuously add them to those other positive things that we came up with or that you came up with those other two times that we met online. So hold on to those too tight. Now I want you to focus on the negative, okay? And when I say focus on the negative, I want you to think about this. This is how, and God showed me this as well, and I'm going to take you through this process in this guide. This is how you place things in long-term and short-term, okay? For your you want the negatives to always be placed in your short-term memory because you will eventually forget it. It's kind of like when someone do you wrong, you don't forget it. It may take years. But God is saying the reason why we can't move to the next level is because we're holding on to stuff that happened a year ago, 2 years ago, even a month ago. So think about the two negative things. And this is how you, in other words, categorize long-term and short-term. I'm gonna teach you, okay? Well, God is going to teach you. All right. For long-term memory, all right, the process that we're going to go through, we're going to do that first. I want you to look at these two negatives, okay? Look at the two negatives. And I want you to turn them into a positive, and then I'm going to take you through the step because it won't make sense if I go ahead and tell you or give you the formula for long-term and short-term and how to not trick the brain, but how to place these things in the synapse of your brain so that it can be stored into long-term or short-term, all right? Because short-term, you understand that you remember it for a couple of weeks, and then you forget it, all right? Long-term is pretty much permanent. For instance, you remember your birthday. I'm going to teach you how to do that, okay? So think about those two negative things. I want you to continue to hold on to the positive. Think about those two negative things, and I want you to turn them into a positive. You turn them into a positive. Don't ask your neighbor. Don't ask whoever's in your house. You do it. You turn it into a positive. Ready, go. And I'm giving you 30 seconds. I might need to give you a minute. Okay, and some of you are still thinking, and that's fine. I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. Okay, now, I'm going to show you what God gave me before this broadcast, and I'm going to tell you how to. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, and this will also be in the guide, so I'm giving you a heads up to all of my listeners. I want you to make a T-chart. A T-chart is a cross. Think about the cross that Jesus hung on. This is how Jesus showed it to me, and I'm going to show it to you. It's very simplified. I want you to make a T-chart. T-chart, just make a cross. You know, the same cross that Jesus hung on. And on the left, okay, if you have the paper right in front of you. On the left, I want you to put long-term. On the right, I want you to put short-term. All right. I'm going to tell you the secret that God gave me for your long-term memory. Put a birthday, whatever your birthday is. My birthday is December 18th. I want you to write birthday, and right under it, I want you to put the month and the date. Okay? So I have long-term on the left side, and I have birthday right under it. And I have December 18th. Okay? Short term, all right? My short term memory, an example of a short term would be my first time losing a tooth in kindergarten. My first time losing a tooth in kindergarten. I don't know the day, and I don't know which year it was. I just know it happened, okay? But I still remember it, and you probably say, well, that's not short-term. It is short-term because I don't remember the details. I just remember how I felt when I lost it, all right? Now, with your long-term, okay, for instance, an example would be your birthday. God is saying the way you remember your birthday is, first of all, okay, because you're reminded of it. People remind you People reminded you when you were young, okay? People celebrated, all right? People celebrated this time. And number three, something happened to you. Something happened to us. We get older, all right, which is always a blessing. And a lot of people may not count that as a blessing, but it is a blessing, okay? So basically, you were reminded of it, all right? Second of all, people celebrated. And the third, something happened to you. And I put we became older. We're getting older, all right? Short term, first time losing a tooth, okay? Maybe the tooth fairy came, all right? Tooth fairy. But it wasn't consistent because maybe the next year you didn't lose a tooth. You know, maybe you lost all of your teeth the first year, all right? So it's not consistent, all right? So that means do not think about it every day. That's what God is saying. Number two, no one really reminds you of it. No one reminds you of it. And number three, although it's temporary, it's nothing that's permanent. And you probably say, well, age is temporary, but age is consistent because you're consistently getting older. We don't get older, then get younger, okay? So in looking at this, what God is showing this T-chart, which is a cross, all right? And Jesus hung on the cross. He hung on the cross, all right? And this was a long time ago, but 3 days he rose. So God is saying, in order to remember the positive things, all right, the positive things in life, you have to remind yourself daily and go through this process, okay? You have to be reminded of it. You have to be around people who's going to remind you of the greatness that lies inside of you. You're going to have to stay in the Word of God, all right? God wants me to do this first because before we can even get into the Word of God and before we can break the shackles that are bound to us, before we can get our breakthrough, we have to go through this activity. And so what God is saying is you have to be reminded. You know, people remind you of your birthday, right? You know, even when you fill out applications, when is your birthday? Your birthday is significant because it defines you. God says the positive things is what defines you, not the negative, the positive things. Even when you pass away, your birthday is put on the obituary, okay? So he says you have to be around things or people that remind you of the positive in your life. If you are in an environment where people only see the negative, and it's a difference between people being the solution to the problem and people being the problem. God says you have to be in an environment where people will remind you of the goodness within you because we all get discouraged. And there's something good in each person, whether it's your job, whether it's your church, whether it's your home. There's something good, and you need to be reminded of it. Number two, people celebrate. You know, people have birthday parties. Even when you were younger, you had birthday parties. A lot of people came out and celebrated. Okay, people celebrate. You need to be around people who's going to celebrate your victories, who's going to celebrate and who appreciate the person you are and who appreciate the goodness in you. That's how things become long-term. And number three, there has to be something consistent, but there has to be a change in us each and every time, each and every year. For instance, we get older because each year we have a birthday. God blesses us to see, thank you, Lord. God blesses us to see another day. So we get older. And God is saying there has to be a change in order for come long-term positive things. There has to be a change. And then when we look at short-term goals, the negative, because I'm going to tell you the next step, and a lot of you already know the next step with the negative. That's how short-term, you know, when you lose something, like such as a tooth, okay, that was my example, you know, when I was younger. I don't know what day it happened. I don't know what the time was. All I know is I lost it, and all I know that it was painful for it to come out, you know, because it was loose and it was painful, you know, if somebody had to pull it or if it came out. So in looking at the short-term goals and the negativity, all right, it's not consistent because each year, preferably, we do not lose a tooth, all right? It's only when we're young, all right? So it's not consistent. Anything that's not consistent and do not remind you of the goodness within you, that's something you need to get rid of. That's what God is saying. He's saying if it's not consistent in your life, if it does not, in other words, if it does not add value to your life and it's not consistent, then it needs to go, okay? No one reminds you of this, okay? I'm 35 years old. No one reminded me that when I was younger, I lost a tooth. You know, no one reminded me of that. So God is saying that if people continuously remind you of your past, if people continuously remind you of the faults, if people continuously just see all of the negative, then that's something that you need to cast out. All right, that's a way that you know that you cast out. And number three is temporary, because you don't have to, in other words, you don't have to be subjected to things that are negative. God has things on the left side, okay, that you can place and make that positive. He has positive people in your life. And what God is saying is for the short term, okay, and we're talking about seasons too, what God is saying is in the short term, those things are temporary. God said those things are temporary. So you're going to have people that's going to be temporary. You're going to have establishments or places that you go that will be temporary. But God is saying that you need something consistent, and this is what we keep in our long term. So speaking of the negative that you just changed into the positive, I want you to take those two negatives once again, and I want you to cast them out. If you find yourself, and what God is saying, if you find yourself continuously throwing out the same negative, you're not letting it go. You're not. When I say cast it out, and when God is carrying it, you go back to God and you get it from Him and you worry about it again. God is saying cast it out, let it go, leave it alone. That's the negative aspect of life. You have to cast it out. So when we say turn those two negatives into a positive, then that's what God means. Turn those two negatives into a positive. Now with those two negatives that you have, you're going to cast those out because you substituted two positives for two negatives, and we're talking about math, right? So you substituted that. So those things should already be cast out. And so now you have four positives, and God is saying these things, in order to know that they're positive, all right, it's kind of like math, how you check your work, how you prove it. It's something that you remember, okay? You feel good about it. You remember it. People celebrate. And then it's something that is consistent in your life. For instance, as I said before, my birthday is consistent. We don't have a birthday on December 18th and then have one on March or April. You know, it's consistent. And you want people to be consistent and to consistently remind you of the goodness in you. But also, we understand that we have things that we need to work on because we're perfecting our walk. But if someone continuously belittle you, if someone continuously find fault, if someone continuously, I mean, if it just goes on and on, then you need to put it in your short term. Okay? So we have four positives now. And I want you to hold on tight to them. And before you go to bed, and this is how we're working on our long-term memory, before you go to bed, I want you to compile a list. And we've only had three ministries that we have performed this task. I want you, before you go to bed, to look at, and you should actually have 12 in all. I want you to look at all 12 of those positives. And I want you to read them. And I want you to, Lord has given me the word. I want you to own them. Yes, thank you. I want you to own those 12. I want you to own them. It's kind of like going to the store, buying a jacket, and now you own it, and so you're going to wear it. I want you tomorrow to wear those four positive things. Wear them and wear them well, you know. And so I want you to do that. And I want you every night, because every time we have a ministry, such as on Sundays, we're going to go through this process. And I know that it's 10, 15 minutes, but we're going to have the process because it's very important and because I have to be obedient to God, because I have people listening, like right now, and people need to know how to get into the presence of God, how to feel better about themselves, and how to be ready to receive the Word of God, okay? So be sure to look at that before you go to bed. Put it under your pillow. I used to do that all the time. Put it under your pillow and own it. Then the next day you wear it. It's yours. It belongs to you. All right? Okay. So we're going to turn corners here. And I have a word from God. And we are going to look at 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 29. And I'm not going to read you 2 Chronicles 20. Verses 1 through 29, I'm going to give you a background, and I'm going to give you what thus says the Lord. I want you to read that on your own, because first of all, you need to study to show that, you know, to make sure that what's being said is correct. So after the ministry, you can read 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 29. And what we find in 2 Chronicles 1 through 29 is we find a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. He learned much from his father, according to the scripture and according to research. But even in learning from his father, he also made many bad choices and mistakes. For instance, he allowed his son to marry the daughter of Jezebel. All right, that was just one mistake. And we know that Jezebel was very evil. And in learning from his mistakes, he turned to God, and then he made the right decision. Well, one day, Jehoshaphat found out some pretty bad news. How many of you know that when you find out bad news, it makes you feel bad? These are one of those negative things, right, that we need to throw out. He found out some bad news. He found out that a great army made up of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Midianites were coming up against him, okay? And he was the king of Judea at this time. Matter of fact, he was the fourth king. And because of this, Jehoshaphat was so overwhelmed that what do you think he did? He called on the Lord. How many of you know that when we call on the Lord in our time of distress, that the Lord will come? And when he comes right on time. And so he called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. And the Lord told him, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. And I want to stop right there, because what the revelation is saying is it does not matter who is against you. God is more than those individuals against you. And so God is saying, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. Sometimes numbers may not be the strength. Sometimes it's the word of God. Sometimes it's standing firm on the word of God and believing in God. And God went on to say, or the Lord went on to say, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And the Lord commanded Jehoshaphat to march down against them. And many people would ask, why would God summon Jehoshaphat to march down against him? Because God did not give us the spirit of fear. And God had something to prove, which was that he would be with Jehoshaphat. And he told Jehoshaphat, you would not have to fight this battle. And he told him to take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance from God. How many of you know that when we stand on the word of God, God allows us to be delivered from all evil? And that's why God, in that prayer, it says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from all evil that may occur. And God tells us to take your position, to stand firm in the word of God and see how God's going to deliver. And God said, go out and face them. Face who? Those who were against them, the Ammonites, the Moabites. Go out and face them, and the Lord will be with you. God said, I will never leave nor forsake you. And we have to stand on that promise. Even when we are going through the battle of life, even when we're going through pain, sickness, loss, when we're going through attacks, the Lord says, go out and face them. There's a song that it says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And God will take care of you, because all of that is true. God will take care of you. So Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all the people of Judea and Jerusalem fell down, and they worshiped before the Lord, because the Lord had spoke. The Lord had heard their cry, and the Lord came to their rescue. Okay? So during this time, as they were getting ready to go into battle, Jehoshaphat did something that was very pleasing to the Lord. He began to appoint men to sing to the Lord. And as he was appointing these men to sing to the Lord, God gave Judea the victory before they even had to go out into the battle. Okay? And so what happened was these different individuals who were going or seeking to destroy Jehoshaphat, who had cried out to the Lord, they began to fight amongst themselves, and they began to destroy themselves. So therefore, the victory was given to Jehoshaphat and Judea. And so what God is saying, that even when we go through different storms of life, and storms, ladies and gentlemen, does not necessarily mean battles such as verbal battles. It doesn't mean abuse. It doesn't mean people being mean or evil or doing evil things. The storms of life are those inner things, as I said, that people go through that causes things to happen on the outside. For instance, if you're stressed out, you know, then you catch these sicknesses such as cancer or diabetes. You're stressed out, and we see what it does physically to the body. God said there's a lot of internal battles going on. It's not just on the external world. There's internal battles, and God said if we hold our peace and allow the Lord to fight our battle, he said that he'll give us the victory. There is a gospel singer, Michelle Adams. She said, the battle is not yours. She said, it's the Lord's, and God placed that on my heart, and the battle is not ours, but we want to make the battle ours. How do we make the battle ours? Because because we do things in our own strength, and we try to go out and we try to tackle on all these battles of stress, the battles of pain, the battle of sickness. When someone says something to us, we want to battle. And God said the battle is His. Why are we going out in the battle? And God tells us to put on the full armor, amen, which is the word of God. And why don't we allow God to fight the battle? Just like, why don't we cast our cares on the Lord? Why don't we do that? And so these are some things that God gave me. And once again, I made a chart. And it's just a basic chart. It's not a T-chart or anything. And this is what's going to happen in the field. God has called many people to go out into the field and spread the message of God. This is the revelation of God that I wanted to give you. But I wanted to give you that story of Jehoshaphat in Judea because I wanted to encourage you that no matter how it looks, no matter how many people come against you, God is with you and you're going to win the battle. You're going to win the victory. So in looking at this, these are some things that we can expect in the field as we go out teaching the word of God, as we go out ministering to people, as we go out on our day in the world. These are some things that's going to happen. There are going to be attacks, verbal attacks, sometimes physical attacks. But most of all, God showed verbal attacks because when you begin to spread the word of God, people, first of all, tremble just like the devil did. And they attack you through their words, through their verbal words. And what does God say on the right side? God says, do not fight. And he even said this in the Bible, do not fight. Why? Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. As long as the Lord told you to go out and spread the message of God and do what the Lord say do, then the text does not mean anything because words are just words. They become alive when you start acknowledging the words. Just like the Bible, there are words in the Bible. Until we start living that, all right, then we're not walking in the will of God. I can read, you know, Genesis, the first chapter, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. But if I don't believe it and if I don't act like it, then those are just words. So God is saying in the fear you're going to experience, we're going to experience attacks from people. And it's not just the atheists. It's people who believe in God but people who don't want to do what thus says the Lord, you know. And God said, do not fight. He said, do not fight. Okay, so we have attacks in the field, and what does God say? Do not fight. And a lot of you are saying, well, what do we do? And I'm coming to that. Just hold on. The second one is you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have dream killers. You're going to have people who say that can't be done. There was a person that I was speaking to today that said it seems like every time they come up with a dream, somebody, boom, bust the bubble. And I said, because you allow them to. But God says what? He says in the Bible, he says what? Take your position. God has given you a ministry. He's given you, whether it's the ministry of song, the ministry of teaching, preaching, the ministry of giving, the ministry of sowing, the ministry of reaping, the ministry of working with kids, elders, adults, whatever. God says, take your position. It does not matter what the naysayers say. Because many times those are the individuals who are sitting in the stands. And when I say stands, that means those who are not working in the field. And they're looking from the outside, and they're looking at you working, but they always have something to say. God said, take your position. As long as you do what God say do, then that's all that matters. They're going to be naysayers. There were naysayers in the Bible. You know, there were people telling blind Bartimaeus to be quiet, stop calling Jesus' name. And he was trying to do something to benefit him so that he could see Jesus one day. You know, so we're going to experience naysayers in the field. But that does not mean that we do not take our position. It means you aggressively take your position that the Lord has given you. If he's given you the spirit of courage, if he's given you the spirit of speaking, if he's given you the spirit of singing, if he's given you the spirit of helping, do it. And it says it in the Bible. It says, take your position. He even told Jehoshaphat that, take your position. Jehoshaphat was scared. And it says it in the Bible. He was scared because of all these people, naysayers. But God said, take your position. Number three, many of us in the field will feel defeated. Why will we feel defeated? Because it feels like the enemy is getting his or her way. And that's what God is saying. That's just the honest God truth. You know, a lot of people tell me I'm doing my best, and people still complain. And I said, you know what? But what did God say? God said, stand firm and watch God. It does not matter, once again, if you feel defeated, depressed, hopeless, helpless. God says, stand firm and watch God. If you're going through a situation, because you're going to always have people who complain. I mean, you could have a bed of roses, and people are going to complain that the roses are should be a different color. You're going to always have that no matter where you go, whether you're in church, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're just wherever. You know, you're going to have it. So get used to it. Okay? And people say, well, I feel defeated. Jehoshaphat felt defeated before he even went to the battle. But he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord says, stand firm. Stand firm in the word of God. You know what God told you. You know where God told you to go. You know what God told you to do. He says, stand firm and watch God. It's simple as that. So let me go back over this chart before we go to the next one. So in the field, what did I say? You're going to experience attacks, verbal attacks. God said mostly verbal attacks. Because he is a fence around his prophets, he's a fence around his ministers. Anyone he calls out, he's a fence around them. Naysayers, you're going to always have that, whether you're doing good or bad. You're going to have people who are going to be dream killers, period, point blank. You could have a dream team. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people that's going to pop your balloon every time. But guess what? God has something for that too. Number three, you're going to feel defeated. We're going to feel defeated sometime in our lives. We can't win all of them. You know, when I used to run track and I ran with girls who went to the Olympics too, you know, getting second place was no problem because I know I did my best. You know, was God pleased? Was I pleased? Did I do my best? So if you feel defeated, you know, then God still said, stand firm and watch God. You know, so in the field, we have attacks, naysayers, and feel defeated. But what did God say? He said, do not fight. God wants this world to be peaceful. He wants the people to go out to be images of him and do not bicker and fight over little things. Number two, he says, take your position. Do not be afraid. God has told you that is where you're supposed to be. That is what I want you to do. Take your position, and when you take it, do it in confidence. Do not let anyone kill your dreams. Anyone. If God has shown it to you and God said it, that settles it. Period, point blank. Finally, stand firm and watch God. God will never put you in a situation or a battle that he does not bring you out. You may have things may come to you, and people may attack you verbally, as I said before. They may complain a lot. But God says stand firm and watch God. We cannot cure the whole world. People have to meet us halfway. Okay? So God says, stand firm and watch God. Do not become discouraged at what God has called you to do. Do not let anyone take you out of the will of God, nor take you out of your position. God says, stand firm and watch God. Okay? So do not fight. Take your position and stand firm and watch God while you're in the field. That's it. Okay? Now, here's a question. Why do we fight battles? Because everyone wants to win. You know, when I run, you know, when I was younger or when I ran marathons, I was going to win. But guess what? Our victory is in Jesus. So before you run, before you shoot basketball, before you go to work, before you sing, before you minister, before you preach, before you teach anything else, take care of kids, you know, be a family, you know, then you must seek the victory, but seek it in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's how you win. You don't win by seeking the victory in your own strength. We need the strength of Jesus Christ. So we fight battles because we seek victory. But God's saying seeking him in order to obtain a victory is what it's all about. Number two, why do we fight battles? Because of our emotions. Some people are very aggressive, some are passive, some cry a lot, some get angry. But what does God say how we should fight this? He said, do not be afraid or discouraged. He said, stand firm, especially when you know that God has told you to do something. People are going to say things. People are going to have their opinions. People are going to do all of this, but you have to know in your mind. That's why we do that activity. You have to know in your mind that God called you to do it and that you're doing your best. And God said as long as you're doing your best, that's all that matters. You are going to continuously have people say things. You cannot carry your feelings on your shoulder. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, be emotionless, but it means that once you are in the Word of God and once God has told you something, then you are confident in the Word of God and you're not afraid. God did not give us the spirit of fear. And we should not be discouraged because God encourages us through the Word of God. He says, stand firm and watch God fight this battle. You don't need to be fighting a battle because you're going to lose strength fighting the battle. And also, why do we fight battles? Because we can't see God. It was just that same example that I gave. If you don't see the policeman or the policewoman on the road, you have a tendency to speed. We have a tendency to speed. Okay, and I said we, I just put everybody in there because I'm sure everyone who's listening and everyone in this world has received a ticket once or twice before. But now we're cognizant of our speed limit and we go the speed limit. But I'm just saying, if you don't see a police, then you don't think to slow down. And because we can't see God, we feel that God is not there, but he is. Ask the Hebrew boys who went into that fiery furnace. Ask David in that lion's den. You know, ask the woman with the issue of blood, because ask blind Bartimaeus, because we cannot see God, that's why we fight battles. That's why people get in trouble, because they cannot see God. They cannot see a way out. Why are people depressed and taking their lives, even ministers? Why is that occurring? And that is occurring because, once again, they can't see God. They can't see a way out. And so they take the easy way out. So what God is saying, do what God says and he will take care of the rest. Do what God say, and he will take care of the rest. That is called being obedient unto God. That's what it's called, being obedient unto God. And that's why we fight in different battles, okay? But what is the revelation saying? The revelation says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities against powers, against rulers, and that's Ephesians 6 and 12. It says we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but principalities against powers, against rulers. You know, think about Adam and Eve. All right, they were wrestling against the temptation of sin. We wrestle against environmental things. You know, people do things because of the environment or because of them wanting something, because they want something done. They want something to happen. It's not against the flesh and blood. It's against things, principalities, things outside. It's internal things wishing to obtain external things, you know. So, therefore, we have to understand that the battle is not what we should be fighting. We should be trying to get to Jesus. That should be what we should be trying to do and put all of our energy and strength into, to tell God all about our troubles. That's what we should do. And so God leaves us with three things, and we need to apply this to our lives. And I want you to write them down, or you can listen to this broadcast again. Three things that God tells us to do. Because we're going to go through some things while we're in the field. And everyone is not saved. And when I mean in the field, I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about it when you go places. And you're going to have to be mature enough to understand that God is for you as long as you're right. Three things that God tells us to do. He says, take your position. God has told you to do something. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. God knows what it is. He told you to do something. Do it. Take your position. It doesn't matter what your neighbors say. It doesn't matter what anyone else say. If God told you to do it, do it. Take your position. Number two, stand firm. Don't have this wayward faith where you believe in God, you know, when you're behind closed doors, then when you get in front of everybody else, it's something else. Be consistent in season and out of season. Stand firm. And number three, most of all, we need to watch God. Continue to focus on God. Why are you doing this? Why am I on this ministry? Why am I even on the radio? Because God told me to be, and because I'm focused on my assignment, on what God told me to do, I'm being obedient. That's why. So God says, take your position, stand firm, and watch God. I'm going to recap, and we've been on for 47 minutes, 5 seconds. I'm going to recap this broadcast, okay? The scripture was 2 Chronicles 1 through 29. Read it on your own leisure. We talked about Jehoshaphat and Judea, how they received the victory because God was with them. All right? Because God was with them and he heard their cry. In the field, you are going to experience attacks. You're going to experience naysayers and you're going to feel defeated. Okay? But God says, do not fight. He says, be peaceful at everything that you do. Take your position. Do what the Lord commanded you to do on your assignment. When you go to work, you do what you're supposed to do. Stand firm and watch God. That means that we don't just let anything go. We stand firm in the Word of God and we watch God move. And then I talked about why do we fight battles? Because everyone wants to win. But our victory is actually in Jesus Christ. That's who we need to see. Number two, why do we fight battles? Because of our emotions. Don't carry your emotions on your shoulders. Do not be afraid or discouraged. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Number three, because we cannot see God. And I gave you an example of the police. All right? Do what God say, and he will take care of the rest. If we're obedient, then God's going to take care of the rest. All right? And then finally, the revelation tells us who we wrestle with and who we don't, okay? And that's in Ephesians 6 and 12. And God leaves us with three things. He says, take your position. He says, stand firm. And then he goes on to say, watch God. And we need to do all of those things in order to obtain the victory in any battle, ladies and gentlemen. We can do it. We can defeat the world because the world has a lot to offer. The world is evil. There is nothing in this world that is pleasing unto God. We have to stay in the word of God. We have to stay in the will of God. And I want to share this with you before the announcements that God gave me this. I believe it was last night. It may have been this morning. And the thing is, people do not walk out of the will of God. People can get out of the will of God through their thinking. God tell you to do one thing, and we do something else. Then he gave me an example of my friend Paul. He said, you know, Paul was on the right track because he was on his way to Damascus, and he didn't know he was going to meet Jesus. But because of his mind kept him out of the will of God, not his feet. So God is saying that he can control our feet even when our mind is disturbed. And that's encouraging because sometimes we do get off track because of our thinking. God wants to take a lot of you to higher heights. A lot of us to higher heights. But because of our thinking, we're out of the will of God. And God said if we can parallel our mind and our thinking and our brains that and make sure that it lines up with him, he said then we can get back in the will of God. It's not where we go. It's how we think, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what God showed me, and I wanted to share it with you. And that was good for me to know as well because I didn't know that. But I really want you to re-listen to this broadcast, and I want you to share it with five people. And it's not just to obtain audience, because God's going to bring that anyway, just through the word of God and different things that's going to happen. But I want you to do it because there's a blessing in this ministry. It's a blessing to me as well. I feel much better. I feel better than when I started. And I was happy when I started, but I feel much better. It's something about being in the presence of God, and it's something about listening to the revelation of God that causes you to have that Damascus experience. And once again, I want to say that Paul was not out of the will of God. When he was walking to Damascus, his mind was out of the will of God. But guess what? God have a way of keeping us on the right path, even when our minds is somewhere else. So therefore, what God is saying today is, where is your mind? Are you in the will? Are we in the will, or are we out of the will of God? And if we're out of the will of God, we need to get back in the will of God. Okay? So I wanted to leave that with you. I hope that blessed you. I pray for each listener who's on the line. I pray that you all experience something and learn something. I want you to continue to cast out those negative things. Even when we're not online, I want you to continue to block out all of those negative things. It's not saying that we're perfect, but it's saying that you need to be around people. You need to be around an environment that's going to continue to uplift you like we uplift God. God doesn't want anyone bringing him down. You know, I heard a pastor say, you know, it's bad when people talk about their leaders, and it is. You know, just like it's bad when the leaders talk about the followers. But what God is saying is that we need to be around positive people, positive environments, and positive things. We all need to grow. We all need to perfect our walk. There's something that we all need to work on. But if you're around someone or somebody or you're around an environment that continues to tear you down, you need to find somewhere else to go. You need a place of refuge. Okay? So without further ado, and I can go on and on with that, I want to go ahead and go on with the announcements because I have actually been online 51 minutes, but you know when the Spirit of God begins to speak, we can't help ourselves. So I'm going to go ahead on with announcements, and then I will bid you farewell. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them, pulling them by the arm. No, I'm just kidding. Asking them and telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/FridaLove. blogtalkradio.com/FridaLove. Gospel artists, artists, psalmists, promoters, community leaders, positive community leaders, coaches, NFL players, regular athletes, anyone else, clean music, you know, gospel, incredible kids, teachers, I need for you to Facebook Alfreda Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or many of you are also catching me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn as well under ALFREDALOVE, and I want to shout out to some of those radio hosts and some of those gospel artists who called me on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for connecting with me, and I look forward to having you on the ministry. In addition to that, be sure, now we're going to 40 individuals. Be sure to pray for 40 individuals. Make sure they're not all your family members. If it has to be all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. Make sure you pray for yourself as well. In addition to that, God has blessed me for those new individuals who are coming online. God has blessed me to write a guide, and the guide is entitled Perfecting Your Walk. And the reason why I say that it's a guide is because each and every day we're trying to perfect our walk in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be sure to look out for that guide. If you are not in Texas or if you're not coming to the book signing event, I will have this guide on Amazon and different links online. In addition to that, I will have copies so that you can inbox me or you can Facebook me or email me and receive those copies as well. As I said, some of that percentage goes to St. Jude, and the other percentage goes to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry. Thank you so much for your support. We're going to have an event at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dunn Avenue, Waco, Texas, where the Reverend Dr. Carrie Berkeley is pastor, and where family is more than a word. The title of the event is Reaping What You Sow. Yes, S-O-W, sow, and S-E-W. When we sow something, amen, we put it together, and when we sow S-O-W, that's when we bring all of our tithes and offering to the storehouse so that the Lord can bless us immensely. It's a gospel fest and book signing community event. The letter that I am going to email and also send out to the pastors of the community and pastors everywhere around Texas is your church is cordially invited to attend the Reaping What You Sow Gospel Fest. And yes, it's a fest. Currently, I am seeking mime teams, praise dancers, choirs, poets, and ministries. If your teams of worship are interested in participating, please contact Alfreda Love at E-M-O-N-Y-A underscore love at yahoo.com, or you may also contact the church as well. And the church phone number is 254-754-0924. The purpose is a fundraiser for Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, and it's also in order to give back to the community and also to give to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministries. When is this? April 5th, 2014, where 919 Dunn Avenue, Waco, Texas, at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, where family is more than a word, hosted by Alfreda Love and Great Ebenezer Baptist Church. Donation, I'm glad you asked. Whatever your heart desire, because God said, reaping what you sow. Whatever your heart desire, please come. There will be a book signing event, which will follow after the event. And this, the guide is entitled Perfecting Your Walk, which is written by yours truly. So therefore, I want you to be sure, and you are welcome. It does not matter where you are. You are welcome to come to this momentous occasion. The doors are always open for the community when we're having church. And I want you to please continue to pray for this event, pray for the church. We have on Wednesday nights, we have prayer and Bible study. On Sundays, we have church. So if you are in the Waco area or if you are out of town and would like to come to a church where family is more than a word, and that is a strong phrase, ladies and gentlemen. And, yes, I'm promoting my church because I've been at that church for a long time, and it's a great church. If you are looking for a church home, or if you just want to stop by and visit and, you know, fellowship with us, please do so. We are at 919 Dunn Avenue, Waco, Texas. Okay, and we, Reverend Carrie, the Dr. Carrie Berkeley is our pastor. We have great church, and we would love to see your smiling faces, so come on out. In addition to that, just be sure to mark April 5th on your calendar 2014 and put God is good right by that date, because I want you to come, and the time is from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8:15 p.m. We're going to have mom teams. We're going to have praise dancers, and, of course, we're going to have choirs, and I'm going to have a couple of people read some poetry. And the main thing is to just praise God, have a good time in the Lord fellowship, and to give unto God, and that's what it's all about. Whatever the Lord has placed on your heart, whether it's prayer, whether it's finances, whether it's whatever, just coming on, you know, with your talent, that's what we're looking for, you know, because we're reaping what we sow. And I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you helping me get the word out, because I need some publicists as well, because I'm going to be really promoting this. In addition to that, what else do I have? Once again, my information, contact information, my email is emonya underscore love at yahoo.com. Also, you can Facebook Alfreda Love, A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. I'm also on LinkedIn, A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. In addition to that, just continue to pray for everybody. If you need a speaker, especially on education, religion, anything like that, school, leadership, military, then love is the answer. You can email me, EMONYA_LOVE. I thank you, Hong Kong, for emailing me about speaking, but it's kind of hard for me to get there, you know, if I only know a week in advance. So please make sure that I know in advance. Thank you so much. If someone asks you what that big smile is all about, be sure to tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. I want to thank God. I want to thank my family. I want to thank all of my friends and listeners for listening to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. Be sure to bring five people with you or to tell five people to tap on to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry because some great things are going on. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.